And last Sunday we started, we'll have one more message in this series. It's something that was indicated as we asked you, what are the topics that you want us to talk about? This was one of them, along with another one, which was, how do you function in uncertain times, which I think relate, right? Because when we feel uncertainty or when there's change, we feel fear. So I want to start off by telling you a story. It was on January 15th, 1933, in Berlin, when Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood up and he preached a sermon. And it was a time in the life of the people of Germany and of Berlin in particular that there was a great deal of tension and fear, widespread fear throughout the nation. And so the government of the time was very shaky. It was about to go under. And Germany had been created as a republic a number of years before, after World War I. And at the time, in 1933, there was a great deal of fear amongst the people, fear of things like communism. So they called it this red tide from the east that seemed to be sweeping up everything in its path. And there were other extremist movements going on at the same time, and people were taking to the streets in protest. Sound at all familiar? In the midst of that storm, Pastor Bonhoeffer, he had no idea. He had no way of seeing the future, obviously. He wasn't sure where things would go at that point and how bad they would get. But there was one thing that he was sure of, is that followers of Christ should know where to turn. And so he stood up in front of the congregation. He said, God stands above all. His word is unchanged. And then he read the passage, similar to the one that Adam read a minute ago, from Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And it's about Jesus and his disciples out in a boat on the lake in a storm, and then the fear in their hearts. And he began by telling it this way. He says, let's say there's a ship on the high sea, and it's having a fierce struggle with the waves. The storm wind is blowing, and minute by minute, that wind is getting harder and harder. The boat is small, and it's tossed about like a toy, and the sky is dark, and the sailor's strength is failing. And then one of them is gripped by whom? What? He can't tell himself. But someone is there in the boat who wasn't there before. Suddenly he can no longer see or hear anything, can no longer row. A wave overwhelms him. And in final desperation, he cries out, stranger in this boat, who are you? And the other answers, I am fear. All is lost. Fear is in the boat. Fear looks us in the eyes and says, here we are, all by ourselves, you and I. And whatever that fear is, it can be absolutely terrifying. It can actually immobilize us. We can't think. We can't do anything. We can't move. It could be any number of things. It could be fear of an important decision, fear of losing one's job, fear of an illness, fear of a temptation that we just can't seem to resist, fear of disgrace, fear of another person, fear of dying. There are so many things that we're afraid of. And in that moment, when fear looks us straight in the face, we feel like we've seen the face of evil itself. Nothing can make a human being so conscious of the realities of the powers that oppose God in our lives as the loneliness, the helplessness, the kind of fog that spreads over our minds, when we have a sense that there's no way out, when fear grips us and immobilizes us, and we'll do almost anything to get out of that sense of hopelessness. Now, it seems like these days, fear is in the air. Or another, it's kind of in the water system. It's all over the place. People are afraid of so many things. And whether it's ISIS or whether it's North Korea and the threat of nuclear holocaust, or whether it's climate change, or whether it's just change in general, people are afraid. because change seems to be coming. These things seem to be coming so fast, and we have no way of predicting them and no way of controlling them. And all of the things that seem familiar to us that gave our life some foundation, some sense of security, are being knocked out from under us. And when you look around and you watch the news, it seems like so many people are angry. Have you noticed that? So many people are angry. Why are they so angry? I think it's because they're afraid. They're afraid. They're fearful of the other, someone who's not like them. They're fearful of losing their place in the world. They're wanting to go back desperately to a time when things made sense, when it seemed like life was so much more secure. And so they say, not to get too political, but so they say, let's make America great again, or Canada great again. And when was that? We're not quite sure, but sometime in the past, it was great, and things were good, at least for me. And I want to go back, and I'm afraid, and I'm angry, and I'm looking for someone to blame right now, right? Someone's responsible for this. And even in the church, we can get infected with it because it really affects our whole culture, and fear infiltrates the church as well. I was reading recently one of the committees of the Free Methodist Church in Canada called SCOD, best acronym ever, SCOD, S-C-O-D, Study Commission on Doctrine. They were talking about fear and change in our culture. And on their Facebook page, they wrote this: many people in the church are so angry with the world because their foundations have been taken away from them. We've hit the worldview questions, and we all used to know the answers. But now those foundations are being pulled up, and people feel like they have no solid place to stand. And this brings fear, which leads to anger. And it also leads to the action of trying to return to that solid place, to return to the way things were in the past. But it's not just in the United States, lest we feel smug up here. The impulse is in our churches as well, and has been since the 1960s, when the church in Canada began to die. Isn't that cheerful? What a cheerful sermon. Sorry, it gets better. So all the books on change, if you're to read books about change and leadership, all of the books on change will tell you it's not a good thing to lead from a place of fear. That will almost certainly lead you to no place good. Because as human beings, what do? When we're afraid, we either get angry and want to fight. Freedom Session taught me this. We get angry and we'll want to fight somebody. Not sure who it is, but we're angry. Or we want to run and hide or protect, right? Fight or flight. That's what we do. It's automatic. It's wired into us. It's not a good place to lead. And so we read two passages this morning, one from Isaiah 41 as the first one. And that passage speaks of a time not that much different. I mean, it may seem very different, but in a lot of ways, there were lots of things that were similar. There was lots of fear in the air, fear of facing the uncertain future, of change and loss. And so I have this image of the people of Israel, and they felt like they were worms. You know, how great would it be to feel like a worm, right? Powerless. Worms can do a lot, but you know, if you feel like you're a worm, you don't feel like you've got a lot of power and control over your life. They felt like they were a people wandering again and again through the desert. They were thirsty, they were parched, it was dry ground, there's nothing to drink. And they felt like, in a sense, the picture there is there's not only Israel, but all of the nations are in this sense of fear, has gripped them. And so the people of the nations are trying to encourage one another somehow. Let's get, you know, let's talk to each other, get our courage built up again because we're afraid. And there's a little image. I find it actually kind of a little bit humorous in a way. They say, let's get some craftsmen here and we'll build our idol stronger. You know, we'll build that little statue a little stronger. Let's nail it down to the table so it doesn't topple over. You know, if that's what you're holding on to, you know, something that could just topple over, you know, with the slightest breathe or tremor of the ground, it's going to fall over. That's what you're trusting in. That's how tenuous your life is. And we're afraid that the things that we're hanging on to just can't bear the weight of our life because fear is in the boat. So just 15 days after Bonhoeffer's famous sermon, where he used that image of fear in the boat, the country of Germany made Adolf Hitler the chancellor. And as Bonhoeffer warned, fear drove Germany and millions of others into deeper pain and division and despair. And so he went on to say, this is the final triumph of fear over us, that we are afraid to run away from it and just let it enslave us. Fear has conquered us. It hollows out our insides until our resistance and strength are spent and we suddenly break down. Fear secretly gnaws and eats away at all the ties that bind people to God and to others. And when in a time of need that person reaches out for ties and clings to them, they break. And the individual sinks back into himself or herself, helpless and despairing. It's not a pretty picture. What can happen in our lives, in the life of an individual or a culture, when fear enslaves them? But in the midst of that fear, in the picture of the prophet Isaiah, he speaks to the people. God speaks through him to the people of God, and he says to them, I have chosen you. I called you from the farthest corners of the earth. I have not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. He brings them words of hope and words of reassurance. So think of Jesus and his disciples in that boat in the storm, when all hope seems to have vanished and fear enters into that boat. And then, in the middle of that storm, Christ manifests his presence and power over fear. And so the disciples cry out to him, don't you care? Are you just going to let us drown? And Jesus replies to them, and I wonder what was the tone of his voice. I wonder what the tone was. But he says, you have little faith. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Don't you know that you're in God's hands, and where I am, God is. Where Jesus is, God is, and with a word, he calms the storm. Fear is no longer in the boat. Christ is in the boat. And at his voice, fear shrinks back, and the waves become calm. Christ is in the boat. So, let me encourage you, if there's no storm in your life today, hold on. Because dark clouds are always forming. We aren't the first to feel this kind of fear, right? I think we have such a narrow view of history. We think things are worse now than they've ever been in the history of the world. No one else has felt this fear before, like I feel it. No, that's not true. We didn't invent it. Others have felt it too. But fear not, God has given us all that we need to withstand the storm. As the Apostle Paul wrote, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. We don't need to fear because Jesus assures us that the gates of death, literally the word is Hades, the place of the dead, never will overcome the church, his people. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his sermon says to a terrified congregation, the Bible, the gospel, Christ, the church, the faith, all are one great battle cry against fear in the lives of human beings. When fear hits, when we feel alone and helpless as the church, we need to remind ourselves that Christ is in the boat still. Then together, we can declare with a different kind of... Do you notice it said terrified at the end of that passage in the gospel where they were afraid of the storm, and then when Jesus calms the storm, they were terrified. And who is this? Who is this that's in the boat with us? Different kind of fear, but there's a sense of awe and reverence at this Jesus who they really hadn't quite grasped who he was, but there he was in the boat, and even the wind and the waves obeyed him. Even fear cannot stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus. So in the midst of our fear, we can hear again the words of the prophet Isaiah when God speaks to him and says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear doesn't have to be in the boat. But when we do face fear, Christ is with us in it. And he says, do not fear. I'm with you. So let's pray together. Father, help us to hear those words, to believe them. Calm our fears like you calmed the storm that day, Lord Jesus. We confess that sometimes our fears paralyze us and cause us to lose sight of you. We bring to you our fears this morning. Let's take a moment, just in silent prayer, if there's something that you're anxious, afraid about today, that you would silently lift that to God. Lord, we declare today and always that you are greater than all our fears. We no longer want to be slaves to fear. We want to walk in the freedom for which you, Lord Jesus, died for us. Fill us with the power of the Spirit. In place of fear, pour your perfect love into our hearts. Cast out all our fear. Give us courage and bold faith to believe and to follow you. And this we pray in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.